Hello, everyone. Welcome to Talking Logistics, where we have conversations with thought leaders and newsmakers in the supply chain logistics industry. It's my great pleasure to welcome to today's program Jason Minghini, VP of Best Practices at Kenco Group. And today we're going to talk about so many metrics, which ones matter most. Now, you know, whenever you talk about supply chain logistics, obviously a big part of it is, you know, managing performance. And part of that is, determining which are the right metrics and right things to measure to make sure that you're on track with your strategic objectives, your tactical objectives, and obviously your operational goals and objectives as well. But, you know, it may sound easy, but as I think we all know and have experienced, sometimes understanding which metrics are the right ones, sometimes it's, drowning in too much data and too much metrics, right? So trying to find the right balance, I think, is a challenge that many companies experience. And, you know, this is something that is, right up Jason's alley, something he deals with day in and day out and has some great experience and perspective in. So certainly happy to have him on the program to kind of share his insights and perspective on it. Just want to remind you, those of you that are joining us live, that, you know, part of our goal here at Talking Logistics is to make this conversational. So if you've got a question for Jason as we're, you know, having our conversation here, you can do so via the Q&A box. And, if it's a good and appropriate question, we have time, I will, try to weave it into the conversation. Just a reminder that in order to ask a question, you do have to watch this episode on the Google Plus event page, and then just click on the Q&A box from there. So with that, Jason, welcome to the program.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
Jason, before we dive into the topic, like I always do with a first-time guest, I always like to kind of get a little bit of an understanding of, how you even got involved with supply chain and logistics to begin with. So why don't we start there? Why don't you briefly tell us a little bit about your career path, how and why you got involved with supply chain logistics, and what your current role and responsibilities are there at Kenco.
Okay, great. So believe it or not, I actually have a degree in nuclear engineering of all things. So graduated from Georgia Tech back in 1994. After that, kind of got into manufacturing. There wasn't a whole lot of need for nuclear engineers at that time. So I kind of went into manufacturing. I know you're a big biker, Adrian. So I actually worked at Lightspeed Titanium right out of college, making titanium bicycles. And then after that, kind of went into automotive, and that's where I spent about 15 years of my life in automotive, supplying organizations like Toyota, Ford, GM, Chrysler, Mercedes, BMW. You know, and in the automotive world, supply chain and logistics is of huge importance, right? So you're constantly supplying the line, whether it be JIT or JIS, just in time or just in sequence. And so you have to have the right product in the right place at the right time and, of course, at the right price. And so there's a huge piece of supply chain and logistics that kind of goes into that aspect. I kind of then came over to Kenco, and primarily the reason why I did was simply because, number one, it's kind of a given thing in automotive that supply chain is just going to work. There's a lot of pressure to get things to the assembly lines at the right time to keep the lines going. And then you look at the 3PL world, a lot of the things and the aspects and the topics that are just givens, if you will, in manufacturing haven't really or hadn't really made it into the 3PL world. I often tell people that if you look at the lag time between when a concept is in manufacturing versus when it's finally kind of bleeds through into the supply chain, the 3PL world, you know, there's a good 5 to 10 year lag period. So I view that as an opportunity to kind of help the supply chain and logistics world actually, you know, grab a hold of some of the concepts that were already in play in manufacturing and bring them through to the 3PL world to better both worlds, to better the 3PL and supply chain perspective there, as well as actually help more of the manufacturers. So that's where I'm at today. I'm vice president of best practices. I like to tell people that's a fancy way to say engineering. So in best practices, we have classical industrial engineering, Lean Six Sigma, pricing, program management, quality, and regulatory affairs. So that's what I do here, it's a fun job, and no 2 days are exactly the same. So,
no, great background. You know, interestingly enough, I had another guest this week that was a chemical engineer. So here we go. I got a chemical engineer. I'm a material science engineer by background. Now we have a nuclear engineer. So I think that's why I always ask this question up front, because it's always interesting to me to kind of see the different directions people take and ultimately end up in supply chain logistics. And, you know, similar to you, I started my career manufacturing in semiconductor manufacturing. I worked at Motorola, and obviously Motorola was well known for Six Sigma and, you know, continuous improvement and so forth. So I think you're right. There is a lot that, you know, working in a manufacturing environment, a lot of lessons learned, a lot of experience there that, you know, bringing those concepts, those disciplines into the logistics world has been, you know, important and is something that continues, you know, continues to happen. And I think it's a great benefit to the logistics industry and, you know, customers, you know, overall. So interesting background and experience there. So let's get into the topic now. You know, as kind of the title, you know, suggests, I mean, companies are either tracking too many metrics or, you know, they have so many metrics to choose from that, you know, figuring out the right approach to performance management is a challenge for many companies. I mean, assuming you can start with a clean slate, I mean, are there any guiding principles for selecting the quote unquote, you know, right metrics?
Well, sure. You know, I think you just mentioned it before. There's, you know, usually three things that companies do wrong when trying to measure the performance of their organization. One is they have way, way too many metrics. You know, sometimes I'll walk into facilities and ask for their scorecards, and they give me this Excel spreadsheet that I open up, and there's probably 1,000 different measures on that spreadsheet, and it looks like a Christmas tree, right? So, you know, one thing that a lot of people do, a lot of organizations do, is measure way too many things. Conversely, on the other side of that spectrum, a lot of organizations don't measure hardly anything at all. So when you ask what's important to either their customer or internally to their shareholders, they really can't give you that firm perspective of what's important, so they don't really measure anything at all. The third thing is that a lot of people forget about is it's usually skewed to one side of the other. And what I mean by that is either skewed heavily toward the customer perspective or it's skewed more internally to the shareholder perspective. So it's not a balanced approach. So just an FYI or a rule of thumb is make sure that whatever you're measuring is important to both your customers and your shareholders. Make sure it's a balanced approach, and we'll probably talk a little bit more about that coming up. And then just make sure it's important. You know, if you're measuring everything, then really nothing's important, right? So you have to pick those metrics and measures that are most important to your organization that's actually going to move you forward.
Yeah, that's a great point. And, you know, it reminds me of a quote that I referenced in a blog post recently, and I forget who was attributed to, but it was something along the lines that, you know, not everything that you can measure is important, and not everything that is important, you know, you can measure, right? So I think there is kind of that recognition to really understand truly what is important, and the fact that sometimes, you know, there might be things you aren't measuring that are important, or that there might be other ways, things that are important that might not be easily measured, but you somehow have to capture, you know, one way or another. Do you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think the one thing that people struggle with is trying to figure out the correlation between actual measure and then the goal or objective of the organization. So in terms of trying to figure out what are the right things to measure, you really need to sit down and talk with your external customer, talk with your internal customers, get that initial basis of what you're going to measure, and then try to actually go out and measure correlation between what you're actually doing in those measures. You know, I think the big thing that you used to hear, I guess, a couple of years ago was big data, right? And then what organizations are trying to do with that big data. There's great benchmark companies out there such as Amazon and Netflix that really take that big data and then try to actually move their organization forward. The same thing applies in our world, right? There's a lot of different things that we can go out and measure. But the most important thing is trying to pick the 1, 2, 3, or 4, or 5 things that you can measure. You can measure every day, and then will actually push your organization forward, both from a customer-facing perspective as well as an internal shareholder perspective.
Right, right. Great point. Now you mentioned in your earlier comment, you talked about you know, having a balance, right? And you hear many companies have taken a balanced scorecard, you know, approach to measuring performance. I mean, what defines balanced, and how do you know if you've actually achieved it?
Right. So, you know, obviously Kaplan developed and defined the balanced scorecard back in the day. And really the balanced scorecard has 4 main areas that you kind of try to develop measures or metrics for. So one obviously is financial perspective, right? So if the company's not making money, then that company will probably not be in existence to take care of its employees over the long term or actually, you know, supply goods or services to their customers. So it has to have a financial perspective. It obviously has to have a customer perspective. So again, you've got to be taking care of that customer. They've got to be happy. So you need to measure that in some way. The third piece would be your employees. a lot of organizations forget to measure their employee base in terms of talent development. Is my employee base happy? Are they engaged? That's where you can bring in things like Gallup to help you do that, to make sure that your employees are actively engaged in the improvement process. And then the fourth piece is internal processes. So how are we measuring our internal processes, and are they meeting the expectations of both the external customer, being the in-facing customer, and our internal customers, being our shareholders? So it has to have those four balanced perspectives. And the key to remember about that is no one measure is important than the other. And I think once you have an organization that can develop metrics in each one of those four areas and they're balanced, and at the end of the day, it's driving the right behaviors in the organization, then I think you can measure success in terms of that facet.
Yeah, I think those are all, you know, great points. And you know, I think when you look at it from a supply chain perspective, in particular logistics perspective, I mean, cost and service tend to be the most common metric categories, if you will, that I see a lot of companies, you know, focus on. I mean, you touched upon a few other there in your response there, but I mean, are there, other metric categories important? Is there a metric, you know, you just talked about employees, measuring the employee piece as being something a company's overlooked sometimes. Are there other kind of areas that companies tend to overlook sometime or de-emphasize, where in reality, you know, they should try to, you know, again, find that balance?
Yeah, as you mentioned, you know, cost and service are obviously the two that a lot of organizations kind of look at, whether it's cost per unit, cost per shipment, service is on time delivery, perfect order index, that kind of thing. Productivity is an internal process that a lot of organizations measure as well. And there should be a correlation between productivity and cost, right? So what I try to challenge a lot of organizations to do when I go in and try to help from an improvement perspective is take your volume, take your shipped volume or your received volume, and take the number of hours you're working. And I usually try to tell people to do the clocking report and simply do a plot with hours worked on the y-axis and volume on the x-axis. And what you should see is as volume goes up, the number of worked hours go up, right? And that kind of gives you an indication of the productivity of the organization. You've got to establish that correlation between productivity and cost. Cost is more of what I would call a lagging indicator. At the end of the day, at the end of the month, this is what it costs us to provide that good or service to the customer. Productivity is much more of a leading indicator. So if you can affect productivity, then you can affect cost in a positive way. So you've got cost, you've got productivity, you've obviously got service. If you can't do it right the first time, then your costs are going to go up and your productivity is going to suffer. So you have to measure some level of quality within the organization, whether it be parts per million defective, whether it be order pick accuracy, but just some level of, is my processes achieving the desired result the first time? Are my customers happy? Are they receiving the product in the right quantity at the right time with no issues? So you've got cost, productivity, you've got service, you've got quality, you've got safety, right? So safety is another one that most organizations would measure. If we're not safe and we're not, you know, providing a safe work environment for our employees, then obviously it's going to affect each one of those metrics we just talked about. So safety, again, is extremely important. The last one that I think a lot of organizations leave out is morale. And a lot of organizations struggle with trying to measure the morale of their workforce. It can be measured in a million different ways, whether you talk about engagement scores, such as the scores that Gallup offers. A very simple and basic measure that organizations can start with is just turnover. Do I have a lot of employee turnover, or do I have low employee turnover? Because in turnover is kind of an indication of how well you're developing and engaging your workforce to actually help you achieve all those other measures that we talked about. So my suggestion, my recommendation is to look at, number one, a balanced scorecard approach that talks about those four areas that we mentioned before: financial perspective, process, internal process perspective, customer perspective, and employee. And then look at defining measures in each one of those areas that we just talked about.
Yeah, I think that's great. I think the last point about the employee aspect of it and the morale is arguably becoming even more important today. I mean, there's so much buzz over the past few years about, you know, the supply chain, you know, there being a challenge of supply chain talent out there, or the challenge of, you know, retaining employees. So on and so forth. So I think, you know, companies that aren't looking at that and looking for ways to, you know, improve upon that, you can certainly make the correlation between employee morale and everything around the employee with all the other, you know, performance metrics and quality and so on and so forth. I think there is a direct correlation there. You know, one of the things that I remember from my manufacturing days, and I'm just curious if it's something that you see as well, and maybe how companies can, be aware of it, is, the reality that, the metrics you may have in place today or put in place today might be the right, quote unquote, right ones for today. But, 6 months from now, a year from now, 2 years from now, you may want, there is a life cycle perhaps to some of these metrics, right? And one of the things I remember manufacturing when I started as an engineer, number one, we had a ton of metrics that we were measuring. And then number two is I would look at a metric and say, well, why are we measuring this? Mm-hmm. And no one can give me a clear answer there. They couldn't remember why that metric was put in place. And, more than likely it was because there was some manufacturing problem and you needed to record this temperature in order to solve the problem. Then the problem was solved, but we kept on recording that temperature or that metric because no one forgot to say, it was meaningless to keep doing it, but yet it was still there. That's why you ended up with this, long list. Do you see that as a challenge? How do you make sure that, the metrics you have aren't stale and outdated, moving forward?
No, that's a great point. I think listening to you speak and then seeing what I see in our operations and in some of our customer operations, I think we make a mistake of not knowing what a key performance indicator is and a performance measure is, right? So a key performance indicator is looking holistically at the organization, saying, is the organization as a whole moving in the direction that our customers want us to go as well as our shareholders? Performance measures could be those measures that you're going to measure on a temporary basis to help some of those larger and more far-reaching goals, right? So in terms of, are my goals fresh and are they meeting the intent that they're supposed to be meeting today as well as next month and even next year, you really should be stepping back at the end of the year and doing voice of customer surveys, both internally and externally, right, with your in-facing customers as well as your shareholders, and then bouncing that off your strategic plan. And a lot of organizations do Hoshin planning every year, which is a Japanese term for basically, making sure that we're doing the right things to move the organization forward. And then after that exercise, sit down and say, are we still measuring the right things? And a lot of organizations get stuck in measuring the same things year after year. You go back 5 years later and the same things are being measured, but they're not as important as they used to be 5 years ago. So they haven't been refreshed like you were talking about. So I would suggest that every single year as part of the annual review process at a strategic level, you sit down and make sure that the measures that we're measuring today are just as important as they were last year. And if they're not, then don't be afraid to change them. Right. There's nothing bad with changing the measures that you have for your organization because they have to be important. And if they're not important, then they're not going to be important to the rest of the organization. People will not be held accountable to them. And that's a big piece of it as well is, hey, what does success look like? This is exactly what success looks like. And oh, by the way, this is what a touchdown looks like. This is what a field goal looks like. And in some cases, this is what a safety looks like. And whenever that safety occurs, it has to be important to the organization, it has to be important to the individual so that action actually occurs. If you stand back at the end of the year and you go, we haven't really moved forward and there's not a lot of actions that are coming out as a result of our scorecard reviews, then that's the first hint that your scorecard and your metrics need to be revised and they need to be refreshed. So I think that should be an annual occurrence. And then part of the strategic planning process or Hoshin planning process, if the organization does it, there should be a deep dive into those metrics to make sure that they're important to the organization, they're important to the customers, and they support the market that the organization's currently in.
Great insight and advice there. I want to go back to something you mentioned earlier and that, in some cases, companies have too many internally focused metrics and not enough customer, centric ones. I mean, they lack the ability to adequately measure, performance from a customer's perspective of what's important to them. What are some steps that companies can take to, identify, define, and measure, again, what's important to customers?
It's easy and simple. Just listen to your customer. A lot of times when we go through we win the business and we go through the contract phase, I think that's where a lot of the discussion on metrics happen between the 3PL potentially and that customer. I think some of the problems that occur during that contract phase is the customer has 10 things that they specifically want to measure, and then the 3PL potentially has 10 things that they want to measure. So when you get done with it, now you've got 20 KPIs, right, which is way too many. What I would suggest you do is when you're going through that initial phase with the customer is try to balance out and see which ones really are measuring the same thing. They may be a different metric or the definition may be slightly different, but maybe you're really measuring the same thing and maybe you can get rid of one or the other and just have one common metric that is both important to the customer and is important to the 3PL or the managing partner as well. But in terms of, you know, how do you make sure you've got the right measures from a customer facing perspective? You need to have voice of customer surveys, right? Are they happy? If they're happy, how are you measuring their happiness? That usually will give you an indication of what metrics you need. And then the second piece would be when you're talking with them on the phone, whether it be in just daily conversation or when a QBR process or an annual business review, just simply listen to them. Listen what's important to them. They may not specifically say, you know, I want you to have a 20% reduction in your cost per unit. They may not say that I want you to be 99.95% on time from a delivery perspective. They may be more subjective and you know, with their discussion. But then you just have to sit back and go, okay, this is what I heard that customer say. Now, how can I measure the success against what my customer said? You develop that internal KPI and then go back to your customer and say, look, I heard you the other day or during our QBR, during our annual business review, I heard this is exactly what you said. And I've tried to say, well, what measure could I put in place to measure whether I've succeeded in that success? Would this work for you? And a lot of times a customer will go, number one, I'm glad you were listening, right? I'm glad you were listening to what I was saying. And yes, if you meet that, then I'm going to be happy. And that really at the end of the day is what we're all shooting for, right? Is happy customers, happy shareholders, and happy employees. And so we've got to be able to measure that effectively.
Yeah, great points there. And you brought up the kind of the 3PL, you know, customer relationship. So I'm going to ask a question related to that. But before I do that, I just want to remind, you know, we're coming up short on time here. So I just have a few more questions. So those of you that are joining us live, if you do have a question for Jason, you know, now would be the time to submit those. So going back to kind of the 3PL, you know, customer relationship, you know, I think there, I think there's another opportunity perhaps where maybe there's a missed opportunity where maybe the focus is too much on, you know, you as a 3PL, you're focused on your customer that might be the manufacturer or the retailer, right? And then of course they're looking at you as the quote unquote supplier or the partner that you know, and want to manage a relationship. So there are metrics that are around your specific relationship, right? But the reality is, to use a retail example, the true test is, you know, either the end consumer or, you know, the retailer, right? If it's a manufacturer that's servicing. So how do you know, so from a 3PL's perspective, do you see it equally important in terms of, in addition to really looking at, you know, from your perspective as a 3PL, looking at the person you're working with directly as your customer, but really both of you jointly defining metrics that are looking at the true end customer of your, you know, joint relationship. But any thoughts on that, or did you see that as being a pivotal priority or consideration as well?
Absolutely. I don't think people do that enough. But obviously, at the end of the day, if that end customer, you know, the person that's actually consuming that good or service isn't happy, then nobody else is going to be happy in the supply chain, right? So I think in true strategic partnerships, I think the 3PL, the manufacturer, in a lot of cases, if they can get together and then go to that end customer and have that conversation with them and define success in terms of what that end customer would define it to be, and then jointly develop metrics through the rest of the supply chain to help support that, not to go against it, but to help support it, then I think then the end customer would be much happier. And then I think the whole supply chain would be much happier. The problem today in a lot of organizations is a lot of metrics are what I would call lagging indicators. You know, if you look at a lot of the financial metrics, a lot of performance metrics, they come out at the end of the month or maybe even 3 weeks into the next month based on the past month. There's nothing you can do about that measure. It's happened. It's in the past. It's almost like trying to drive on a windy road in the mountains looking in your rearview mirror. You know, it's not going to work out very well. So what you have to do is turn a lot of your lagging indicators into leading indicators and try to measure those processes at the daily, weekly, or even hourly perspective to be able to input change into it. If you can do that, then you're more responsive not only to changes in the process, obviously, but as your customer expectations change, which we all know they do, then you can quickly make those changes in your process and get in front of that curve versus trying to drive either off the curve or around the curve. And I think that's one of the most important things as a takeaway is go from being reactive to proactive and then go to predictive, right? Because even though my green metric today is green, where's it going to be 6 months from now? Where's it going to be next week? Instead of waiting till we get to that day and going, uh-oh, I'm red today, maybe we should have realized the track we were on last week and we could have prevented that fire from actually being created.
Yeah. To build on that, I think that then there is a connection, obviously, between you know, our discussion that we're having here with metrics and the ability to have that more real time, you know, visibility, if you will. So, I mean, that obviously it seems like technology obviously has to play a role here in terms of getting those more real time or more timely signals in terms of how things are progressing. Right. And there's a lot of buzz these days about, you know, performance dashboards and BI and analytics. So it seems like, you know, part of this is really, you know, technology plays a role in this as well in terms of being able to your point, trying to be as proactive and as opposed to reactive and having leading indicators or being able to have visibility to wait to how things are trending versus looking at it from a after the fact standpoint.
No, absolutely. I think BI and quantitative analytics is certainly something the 3PL industry is going to use a lot more coming up. Especially since the profile of the work that we're doing is changing much more dramatically today than it was 5 years ago. You know, 5 years ago, a lot of industry and a lot of business was pallet in, pallet out, right? Well, what I call the Amazon effect, which is driving to where I want to have my product today, which means I'm not going to order full pallet loads. I'm going to order either eaches or cases. Well, that means you have to be able to respond in a much quicker way. And obviously you have to identify patterns. You have to identify profile changes sooner than they're going to happen. So that's where BI comes into play. That's where quantitative analytics come into play. A lot of companies try to do that first without actually getting a firm grasp of their metrics from a manual perspective. And so I always try to tell people, don't go electronic before you master the manual. And then once you master the manual, then start to bring electronic and BI and quantitative analytics into it to help solidify what you're already seeing from a manual perspective. Because people a lot of times will go immediately to electronic and not truly understand what they even need to do first. And to me, that's where that manual piece and time period will actually help you in your quantitative analytics actually process.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, I think it underscores, you know, a mistake that a lot of companies make, which is, you know, viewing technology as a silver bullet, right? And I think what I just heard you say there, which I completely agree with, is, you know, you truly have to have the fundamentals in place and the practices in place and the understanding in place, you know, before you kind of layer that technology, you know, in there. You know, so let's say now you've selected the right metrics, right? You've gone through the process that you've talked about here. You know, now what, right? You know, in other words, you know, how do you go from, you know, measuring performance to actually, you know, managing and improving it and you know, realizing business benefits from all of this?
Right. So a couple of different things. One is make sure that everybody in the organization understands why that metric's important. And then two, how they personally contribute to that metric. So in some cases, it's going to mean cascading and translating that metric from a top level down to an hourly associate level. You know, in a lot of cases, when you go to a production floor or a warehouse floor and say, hey, you know, our cost per unit needs to be X, they give you that blank stare. They don't really understand how they can impact that because there's so much that goes into that. So part of management's responsibility is to take that cost per unit goal, let's say, and then translate it down into something that that hourly associate can affect and impact. So that's really the one important takeaway. And then second, very, very important takeaway that a lot of companies, strangely enough, don't do or don't get is once you start measuring and you see a negative trend or you see a red mark pop, do something about it, right? So develop action plans to either get you going back in the right direction from a trend perspective or develop action items to make that red turn back into green. In other words, have action. A lot of people report out scorecards and we'll sit in a room and talk about it for 3 hours. But when that meeting is over, there's no action that's been defined, right? So then we think next week when that metric is still red or that trend's still going in the wrong direction, we want to say, well, why are we not changing? Why is this metric still red? Well, it's because you haven't taken action. So two things. One is ensure that everybody in the organization understands that metric and understands how they impact it personally. And then the second big important thing is take action. Right? Make sure you're doing something about what you're reporting on.
Yeah, and I think to that second point, I think that's where you're seeing a lot of the buzz today about, you know, analytics and BI moving toward being more predictive. And I think where the whole part of the Holy Grail is to be more prescriptive mm-hmm. as well. And I think, you know, obviously you have to take action if you're going to change, you know, the outcomes. I think an important thing is, you know, being able to capture and learn what you've done in the past when X occurred, so that if it happens again in the future, you're kind of not reinventing the wheel or scrambling to try to figure out the solution. If, you know, I think where the promise of some of those BI and systems and technology come in is to say, hey, you know what? The last time this happened, this is what you did to fix it, you know, and have the system or have some kind of mechanism to capture that intelligence, right? So that, again, you can correct those issues faster because you're learning from past experience. Do you see that as well?
No, absolutely. I think that's a big piece of BI is being able to identify the trend or the pattern and then being able to send a notice to whoever that may be to say, look, if you don't do something, this bad thing's about to happen. And then, oh, by the way, like you said, the last time this happened, here's the three things that followed. And so unless you want to go back through that whole painful process again, you know, you may want to do something about it. You know, I don't know who said this, but somebody once said, if you always do what you've always done, then you're always going to get what you've always gotten. Right. And so I think from a business intelligence perspective, that's what we're talking about is if you only measure your KPIs and you don't respond to them and you always do that, then you can always expect your KPIs to be exactly what they are today. And so BI is not the Holy Grail. It's not the silver bullet. You still have to have the right culture within the organization. And to me, that culture is continuous improvement to say, we're going to measure this. We're going to say it's important. And then we're going to watch for trends and patterns and misses. And when we do, when we have that, inevitably you're going to have that in an organization, then we're going to respond and we're going to respond in the right way. All the technology is going to do is help support you in that process. It doesn't take place of the person making the decision or the person driving the right culture on the floor. All it's going to do is help support that process.
No, great points. Jason, we're kind of out of time here, so I'm going to go right, you know, to my last question now. You know, as a way to wrap up, you know, what questions should, you know, companies ask themselves to assess whether their, you know, performance management, you know, approach is aligned with kind of leading practices out there that you're seeing?
Yeah. So a couple of different things. Number one is take a look at your scorecard or your measures and make sure they're important measures, right? So distinguish between key performance indicators, which is more strategic organizational type goals versus just performance measures. And the ones that you identify to be key performance indicators, obviously make sure there are measures from each one of those four areas that we talked about: customer-facing perspective, financial perspective, internal process perspective, and then obviously the employee perspective. And then thirdly, and probably most important, is make sure you're measuring the right things, obviously, but make sure you're taking action. And then every quarter or every month or every annual, whatever time period you do, sit down with your customer, review those with them, and make sure that the two parties are still aligned on what that success is defined to be. And that way, when you get there, you'll both know that we've actually scored a touchdown or we scored a field goal and that we've actually gotten to where we need to be.
Great advice and recommendations there. So Jason, again, you know, like I always say at the end of all our episodes, we always just manage to scratch the surface on these topics, but I think you provided some great, you know, food for thought and ideas for companies to walk away with and think about, you know, kind of their approach to, you know, defining metrics and how to, you know, leverage them effectively to improve their supply chain operations. So again, thank you very much for, you know, joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me.
And I want to thank those of you that joined us live today. We didn't get any questions live, but if you are watching this episode on demand and you have got a question for Jason, you can find this episode on talkinglogistics.com and you can post a question or a comment there. I'm sure Jason will be more than happy to respond via that medium. So again, thank you all for joining us today and look forward to seeing you in a future episode of Talking Logistics. Have a great day.